Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Bumper to Bumper. It's Friday night. My name is Ziad Plachis and with me is Brother Jamil Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Jamil, how are you this evening?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ziad, how are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah.
You know, we just assume that it's evening, so it's like good evening or we welcome to Friday night. This show is actually broadcasted internationally, so it could be good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. You know that, right?
Oh, okay. That is true. So, and we must say it's Friday night here in South Africa, Central African time.
There we go. So, let's just get that on, because I don't know if you know, but there's actually quite a big following in the UK.
Alhamdulillah.
Of CII. And, I know Zambia has quite a decent following. So does Botswana. We need to cater to everyone.
So let's hear from the listeners. Send us a message on the WhatsApp line and tell us where you're from.
Yeah, that's it. No competition, no difficult questions. Just tell us where you're listening in from.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. And then, that's a very difficult one, because I was going to say, we should actually talk about a car from each place that people mention. But like, I only know, UK, US, Malaysia now.
Well, you mentioned Zambia, so what car comes
to mind? I think that's from Zambia.
You're making it difficult for yourself.
Exactly. But how was your week, sir?
Alhamdulillah, it was good. And yourself?
I see you've got a very big smile. You pulled in like a proper tender someone. Did you make it big?
Yes, I made it big.
Alhamdulillah. I'm surprised I'm still seeing you this week since you made it big. I thought you'd get your Range Rover and you'll chuck. I'll never see you again.
No. I must come and show you because, I mean, you know where I started.
Okay, so I don't want to go into too much detail. I don't know. Are we talking about the vehicle you're driving?
I think not tonight.
Okay, but can you just say what it is?
Because we didn't say it.
It's quite a nice looking car that's parked outside my house.
Okay, so say what it is.
What is it? It's a Range Rover?
Range Rover Sport, so it's a hybrid. Okay. So there's a lot to talk about. Yes. I mean, that's like a whole show on its own.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I've learned a lot of things driving a hybrid.
Okay.
One of the things that...
But this is not like mild hybrid. This is like a proper hybrid.
Proper hybrid.
Okay.
So it's not a mild hybrid that just sits here and there. Yeah. It's like full. You can put it onto EV mode and just drive in EV mode. And
so
then your fuel consumption is 0.0 liters. But you know how I love it.
Yes. We're going to get to this. Yeah. I have so many questions regarding that. But what I do remember is driving one of these, and they were they packed quite a punch.
Well, so this is, like I said, it's the mild hybrid. So it's a petrol with the battery, and it's a 3-liter engine. Okay. So you still, like you say, it still packs it. And it still roars. When you put it in sport and you switch from EV to petrol.
And does it still have the same cold start sound?
It does. It depends.
Okay.
You see, if you have it in...
Can you start it in sport mode?
I haven't actually tried that.
Okay. Maybe something for us to try before you leave.
You can try it. To be honest, when I put it on, like, you don't even know if the car's on or not.
Well, that's the future. And I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it's this week that we both have the Volvo launch.
Yes.
And that's, I think, what we're going to see a lot of this year. Everything electric, everything hybrid. It's the way it's going, whether you like it or not. But I think vehicles like this, they appeal to you, but, you know, it's also a bit of a touchy subject, because a Range Rover Sport was always known to be that specific, it was almost like a muscle car in an SUV, you know, and do you think it's lost some of its essence?
I don't think so. Like you say, this is the future, and I think it's a good stepping stone, both as a brand and for me as a customer.
Okay.
The reason why I say that is that they didn't jump right into going electric and, forget about where we came from.
So you needed a bit of that foot in the water type of thing.
And also for me, dipping my feet in the water to going electric, I'm learning a lot about how everything works, because that was one of my fears of getting an electric vehicle and I didn't know where to start.
Sure.
You know, how do I charge at home? Where are the charging stations? How much does it cost?
So this one you don't need to charge, obviously.
No, you charge it.
Oh, really?
It's a plug-in hybrid.
Okay.
It's a PHEV, as they call it. Plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. So that's why
I'm saying. So do you have the famous shot at Mall of Africa then?
I went.
Okay.
That is another story on its own, because while I was there, parked next to me was the infamous EV6.
Oh, really?
So I spoke to Gary Scott, the CEO of Kia South Africa. He was obviously driving it. Mm. And yeah, that's
how we're getting it.
Okay, so we can't talk about it on radio.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, so the EV6 looks quite nice. The boot space is, you know, like he says, is as big as a Sorento. It's quite a long vehicle. Okay. Like, you don't actually notice. It's more like a Grand Coupe type.
Did you not spot this car before?
I did.
I remember this. It was in your...
Yeah, it was about two, 3 weeks ago. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Did you tell him that you...
I did tell him. Yeah, but we didn't... I asked him, can I take photos and videos? And he said, you know what? I don't want to do anything else, you know, besides us spotting, because they don't want to, you know, like tease the public. They want to be ready for the public when they launch, hopefully soon, that we won't talk about.
Okay.
But yeah, big things are coming from Kia, hopefully, inshallah.
Okay, interesting. Very interesting. I mean, it's obviously a major shift. Guys like me are still... It's a little bit hard to digest, but I think once you drive these vehicles, it's amazing.
But you know, Jamil, what astounded me was the EV community. I mean, this guy, I've never met him before, right? Mm-hmm. We just started chatting. We're both charging our vehicles, you know. Sounds pretentious, mm-hmm. but no, but you know, we got to talking and everywhere I go, and obviously with this particular vehicle, it doesn't look like an EV. So that for me also, you know, it doesn't look so futuristic that everyone's like, oh wow, you're driving an EV. So everyone was actually surprised, and they're like, oh, I didn't know Range Rover does electric vehicles or plug-in electric vehicles. So, you know, also that. Yeah, and I mean, I spoke to the guys at Audi Center, Livonia as well. I went there to try and charge. So I was, you know, like going to all the different places. The 200 kilowatt charge at Mall of Africa is phenomenal, though.
Okay. Is that the reason why everyone who gets it just goes straight there to charge?
Well, you see, like I just learned now, there's a lot to learn about EVs. I didn't know there's different charging stations, right? I didn't know that, you know, if you charge it at home, it's 9 to 11 kilowatts, depending on, you know, what phase you're on. And it's going to take you like 15 hours to charge it. Yeah, well, people generally leave the car overnight.
Okay.
And, you know, it's cheaper to charge it at home per kilowatt than it would be to charge it at a charging station.
But, like, I mean, also, like, 15 hours may sound like a lot, but if you get home from work to put it on charge, I mean, you're gonna basically need the car the next morning, so it's fine.
Yeah, but that's like full charge.
Yes.
You know, and most, okay, well, this is a hybrid, okay? So this EV is just, like I said, it's testing, so the range is not that high. You're getting about 80 to 100 kilometers.
Sure.
Right? Okay. Whereas full electric, you're getting like 400, 500 kilometers. So you charging that, and it's going to probably last you the week if you're just going to work and back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're not charging it that often. Then I learned that, you know, you have this, obviously at home, you have 9 to 11 kilowatts. Then you have the cheaper charging stations that do about 22 kilowatts.
Okay.
So there you're cutting down the time by about half. So instead of like 15 hours, you're getting it down to about 7 or 8 hours.
Right.
Then you're moving up to 75, 80 kilowatt. Then you're moving to 120, 150 kilowatt. And then you're moving up to this 200 kilowatt. Now the 200 kilowatt, I think it took me about, say, 1.5 hours to fully charge from zero to full.
Okay.
And I mean, that's like fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you go into Mall of Africa, you do your shopping or whatever it is, you come back and your car is ready. It's charged.
Mm.
And
can you just leave? Can you like overcharge or is there...
So it cuts off.
Okay.
Once it's full, it cuts off. So it's not going to charge you anymore. It's not going to charge you, nor is it going to carry on charging the car.
But obviously, you're basically taking up a space, charging
yes.
bay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the other thing is that, so you have to have like an app, either like a Grid Cars or I think it's called Charge Pocket or something, where you can find where's the nearest bay,
okay.
how many bays are available, what charge it is. So you know, okay, right, that's an 11 kilowatt, same as charging it at home, I need a fast charge type of thing. I even went to Hyde Park yesterday. They have a free charger, right?
Okay.
But it's always full.
I would assume.
So that's how the rich get richer, they charge at Hyde Park. But it was quite small bays. So also, if you have quite a big vehicle, you have to, be cognizant of that. So, you start learning all these things.
Right.
Where to go, how to do it. But I think it's a lifestyle change.
Okay.
So you know that you're going to go to gym in the morning, right? And there's a charger there. So you charge your car, you go to gym, you come back, your car's charged type of thing. Or, it's basically we're going through the whole cycle of when people still first got petrol cars. How did it all go? There weren't a lot of petrol stations around. We had to, plan our route so that we don't get stuck.
Yeah.
Type of thing. When we got our phones, when we first got phones, we had to charge the phone for 16 hours. Can you remember that? So it's the same thing. There's obviously going to be the so-called teething problems.
Sure.
And as early adopters, you're going to get that. But then once, it starts growing, it's going to get easier. A charging station is so easy.
Mm.
You can put it anywhere, basically. It's like a parking bay.
Yes.
It's not like a filling station where you need a whole forecourt and everything. So,
okay, no, I understood. But there's a lot more coming up on today's show. Tell me, what else are we talking about before we jump in for a break?
So, it was World Radio Day on Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. Well, happy World Radio Day on Tuesday to you.
Well, happy World Radio today, Tuesday, for our listeners who listen to us on radio.
Yeah.
And then we're talking the Renault Clio. You just recently.
Clio 5, right?
The Clio 5. Clio V.
Clio V. Yeah. Okay, so let's take an air break. When we get back, it's French cars.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. We were talking about EVs and hybrids, and we spoke a little bit about World Radio Day. We wished everybody. But do you remember, Jamil, when we used to take the radio out of the car?
Yeah, and get it around like a hanger.
Yeah.
So my mother had a golf one. Do you remember those ice cream colors, that blue and white one?
Yeah, yeah.
And literally, like, we'd get off, and there's, like, you'd slide this thing for, it was heavy.
Yeah.
It was like, I think it was a cassette deck. And we'd take it around all over. And I remember this distinctly. So, like a few years later, my father, that RX Side Corolla, and he had the radio, just the face came out. But also the
yes.
face came out, you put it into another container, you put that into the handbag, you
yes.
walk around with it. It was quite crazy when you think about it. Like,
yeah, we were so like paranoid that someone was going to take it. But people did break
people,
in for
people
it.
People used to steal those
yeah.
things. I mean, it was funny because if you were going to, like, let's say a store just to get like bread and milk, you'd actually just put it under the seat.
Yes.
So before you stop at the shop, you put it out so no one sees it,
yeah.
and then you'd like shove it under the seat and go in. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And then the worst thing is sometimes you jump into the car and by us the little plastic thing in the face used to come off.
Yeah.
Used to actually stay near the car keys. And sometimes you'd go, you'd get into the car and you're like, oh crap, I forgot the face on the radio.
Yeah.
It's like,
yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Do any of the listeners have stories about those?
So, talking about stories about those, last year my father bought a really, really clean Honda Blade. You know the one before the pop-up lights?
Yeah.
So we just bought it because it was this clean, like absolutely like immaculate. And he had one of those Becker original tape decks where you could put it out. That was the most fascinating thing for me.
Sure. Mm. They moved from Becker to Grundig.
Yes, yeah, I remember that. And then obviously, I mean, back then, the good brands were obviously like Pioneer.
Yes.
Alpine was like the most amazing thing in the world.
No, BMW didn't have Alpine.
Did they not have Alpine?
Did they?
I think that...
I'm just thinking because Alpine, I just like... That's why I made...
But I remember also, do you remember the CD changes in the boot?
Yes. The shuttle. In the BMW.
You'd like load all six of them. And then from the, the deck, you choose which are amazing. There was specifically on, you know, the dolphin shape?
Yes, I remember it.
Then also my auntie owned a dolphin ship, and I remember this distinctly. In the boot, you open up the boot on the right inside, I think it was the right, there was this like little weird...
Yeah, it's a box that you push in, and then you blow into it if it's not working.
I remember that. And by the time I got my first car, it was like USB and Bluetooth. But like also the Bluetooth was very finicky. It's not like now, it's like CarPlay, and all you have to do is basically just... You know, slap Bluetooth. It was like a thing to get it connected, and then the connection would lose every time you switch off and switch on. You must start this whole thing again.
And but you had a problem with the Proton Saga recently.
I couldn't get it connected at all.
I actually got it connected.
Yeah.
Eventually, I tried a million things, and then I got it connected. And it reminded me of that whole process when we first started using Bluetooth radio.
Okay, so you know, since we are going down this road of like old things, and do you remember, I don't know what's the word for it, but steering locks.
Yes.
So there was
Gorilla lock. There was a Gorilla lock.
Yes.
That was a famous one.
That was a famous one, right? And my mother had this one in the Golf. We actually used to go onto the pedal and onto the steering.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Was it the brake pedal? You used to like, kind of jam it down. Jam it. And it was just... I remember.
But then they started making... They had the gear lock also.
Yeah.
Where you could... I had it in my Polo Player.
Did you have the one that looked like a C?
Yes.
Okay, so you put it into reverse, you...
Yes. And then if you forget the key, you're stuck.
Yes, right? I remember that.
And then they started making the pin lock. I don't know if you remember the pin lock.
You just push it on the side?
Yes.
Is it that right?
Or you push, you just push it down.
Right, I remember that.
Like a telly door basically.
Yes, I remember that. I remember both of the ones you're talking about. And like I'm saying, my mother had a Golf and a Tears, two of the most like popular cars. But the Golf had that one that you don't want like a C. And do you know the VWs, you have to like clutch in hard, you push the... hook it in there, and the Tears was literally just that button that you're looking for. I remember this.
Yeah. And then there was the anti-hijacking also, the little button.
Oh, the hidden button, yes. Right? Yeah, that was so crazy. I remember that. And like every car would obviously be like located in a different place. But some people you could actually like tell by how panic they get in it, because it would happen. And then a lot of times you press it, but because it's like in a hidden place, like, you know, sometimes it's like under a floorboard or whatever, you don't actually get it. So you think you press it, and then it does it, but does it louder and more sooner.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, this guy is like, oh, I remember that as well. Anti-hijack, no? That's what it was called.
I think so.
Yeah. Why what other things? I still remember when cars had wind-up windows.
Some of them still do.
In the back. Yeah. Was it the...
This is Micra, I can remember.
Was it the C3? That it is.
I'm not sure. I can't remember now.
So what was funny is, like a few months back, I actually picked my daughter up in the work buggy. Then wind up windows, and she literally looked at me like, "Hey, what is this?"
Yeah.
Like she didn't understand what it was. Like,
do you remember when we used to break those things? Like, it used to come off.
Oh yeah.
You pop it off and.
Yeah, and it literally sounds like it screws out of there.
Yeah.
Do you remember the aftermarket ones of it? So, okay, especially if you own a Polo, you definitely know this.
Yeah.
You used to get the door pins.
Oh, the pins, yeah.
You screw those off. Yeah. But now with that, you used to get winders that you could change.
I don't remember like the winders. After, but I remember the pins. Door pins, I mean, that you don't see anymore either.
No.
The only car that I still know that has door pins, but you can't actually change it, is BMW. Did you know that? BMW still have door pins.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I like it. Is there anything that has been like removed from cars that you miss or you think was good or...
I think wind-up windows was actually quite... Mm. Why?
Why do you want wind-up windows?
Because it was fun.
Can I tell you something? I actually get annoyed when they're not auto. Like, it's just... Like, you know, you have to like hold the button to close it. Like, I want all of
that. Oh, you mean just to dine touch them?
Yeah.
So, is there anything you miss?
Is there anything I miss? Do you know, it was just an era of cars, I think, where, like we said, like, you know, the radios came out, and it was a little, for me, a lot of, I'm going to say my hero cars all come from that era. So, from like, you know, the Dolphin Jet M3, the VR6, the RXI, the VTEC, those were like our, you know, like our guys talk about M2s and stuff now. Mm. And obviously, I mean, they were nowhere near the type of power that these cars are putting out now, but they were just like really amazing cars. And I remember this distinctly. So I own the RXI. I actually own the RXI and a VTEC. And the first time, there was a guy on campus with us, and he, I don't know what his parents were thinking, but he had a VR6. Like, he used to drive it to campus daily. And I loved this car, like, from the time I was a kid. I'm not sure if you remember, but Friday nights at Talton, they used to have drag racing.
Okay.
And I raced him, and I wish that never ever happened. Like, I wish I didn't race him. Because a VR6 to me was like the most amazing car ever. Like, you know, it had that sound. I liked it. I know a lot of a lot of people didn't enjoy it. And, you know, it kind of, the Golf grew up in a sense. And it gave rise to what the Golf is now. I mean, before the Golf was just the City Golf, you know. And, I raced it. And I honestly thought it was fast. Just so you know, VR6 is not fast, eh?
But maybe you couldn't drive.
You see, there was another thing. Like, right now, like, I'm being dead serious, right? You left foot on the brake, flat on the accelerator, launch control's gonna come in. All you have to do is let go of the brake.
Yeah.
And the car did everything. Back then, when you had a VTEC or whatever, you need that VTEC to kick in. You need to, like, know when to change it.
Exactly.
It was, like, a very engaged... So, see, Brother Tando says he knows that place. Brother Tando knows Talton. Have you been racing there, Brother Tando? How do you know it? We'll have to wait for his reply.
Whereabouts is it?
Talton is, I think it's near Krugersdorp somewhere. I know it's like one of those back roads. I know that's the highway we used to take, N14. Oh. So every Friday night, I don't know if it was every, but a lot of Friday nights there was racing. So guys could bring their cars and race. And I think...
Was it legal?
It's legal. It's on a drag strip. Dalton is a raceway. And what was absolutely crazy the ones, I think the most standout moment for me, like ever, was two things that I saw there. Brother Ntando says, Brother Ntando, was it also your varsity days, eh? Yeah, those days were wild, man. You know, Friday nights, you go, and it was a fun space to have. Like a good time, you know. But two things that like really stood out for me, and I think it kind of summed up motoring as a whole, was a race that I saw between a Ferrari 458, it had just like come out, it was a new vehicle, and Audi RS3.
Okay.
And I mean, a Ferrari is a Ferrari, it's a supercar, it's very purpose built and whatever. And the RS3 that raced it, like, finished it. And what was so crazy when he got back, this Ferrari literally had, like, you know, like a fire extinguisher, this and this. The guy in the RS3, like, parked his car, opened the boot, and he had a pram in the back. And he just, like a hatchback, just finished it. Like, you know the first shape RS3 is?
Yeah.
Those are it. And the other one that was, like I'm saying, like sounded up was an E63 that beat a F430 on the drag slope. So it was a very nice environment. It wasn't like very, you know, like there wasn't like a lot of competition in that regard. But guys used to come out there with bikes, supercars, guys that had like very, very warped cars. And it was a nice time. I don't know if you know, even West Bank used to do it. Is there any way that they're still doing this?
I'm not sure. Can ask the listeners where, yeah. If they know any way that they still do this.
Yeah, something like legal racing. I know South Coast does track racing, mm-hmm. One Sunday a month. I think it's like $650 you get in.
They used to do it down in Desi Raceway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they still do it.
Okay.
I think we should actually check.
Because honestly, I think cars are so powerful these days that more of these facilities need to be made accessible.
Oh, definitely. Because like in Durban, for example, they used to have in Amgeni Road illegal drag racing. Mm-hmm. And another thing there was a Saturday night.
Okay.
And there used to be a lot of accidents because the people couldn't handle the cars, and it was dangerous.
Of course.
I mean, you know, the spectators are standing right there. These cars go out of control, and it's just crazy. So yeah, definitely there needs to be, and like you say, it's a fun environment, you know, a controlled environment where people can, you know, actually test their cars. Because you don't generally get to test your car. You shouldn't really be on the highway.
No, exactly. And like we're saying, like, I mean, not even in performance cars, but think about like how fast you can hit 180 now with any of the new cars. It's crazy. I do think facilities need to be opened and made more accessible, you know, to these type of vehicles.
Definitely.
But I think we owe another air brake. Let's go for another air break, and when we come back, we will discuss the Clio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. If you've just joined us, Ziyad, well, he playfully teased us with his very fancy Range Rover that's parked outside my house. If we drive past, no, we didn't win any sort of lottery or anything that's around, Ziyad. It's just Ziyad visiting and showing off with his fancy car, which he doesn't even want to talk about. But
I said we could have gone for a drive.
So Ziyad came up with this very, very, ambitious. I'm going to say ambitious, but in brackets, last minute idea, okay, where he wanted us to do the show from a car on the road. Now, that's really nice if you live in a first world country, with no load shedding and no network issues. But I'm the type of person, like, I don't know if you can hear it, like, if the listeners can hear it in my voice, but every now and then I panic, and that's because it's just, like, reconnecting, you know. I don't even know, I'm like, is it still on? Like, are we still, you know? But, I think let's give it a shot. Let's try it next week. I've got a test car of myself. I know yours, like, really overshadows mine. But what's very crazy about this, I've got it for 3 months.
Okay.
So it's my first long, long, long-term vehicle. And honestly, I couldn't have chosen a better vehicle, in my personal opinion. But I'll talk to you. It's the Suzuki Grand Vitara. I've got the top of the range. It's a nice one. I'm hoping to put some serious kilometers with some serious road trips on there. I've got 3 big ones planned, but I'll talk about it as we go. Then we touched on like the whole EV situation and how cars are charged and where you can charge it and how it works as best as you can. And then we just went down, I think, memory lane in terms of like car memory lane. And we opened up the lines and we just asked people. And we've got 2 very cool messages here. The one says, I can still remember cars with record players. Playing 7 single records. It was very exciting because very few people actually hate these. So when they say record players, they don't like those vinyls, are they?
Yes.
Really, I've never seen that before in a vehicle.
They said very few people
have. Yeah, but I think it was before my time.
Yeah,
I don't remember this.
A long time.
I remember when like
a no disc tape.
Oh yes, I remember Tate.
Yeah.
I remember those.
We just spoke about that cassette tapes, yeah.
And then I've got another one. I'm still using the steering wheel. Acts like an additional deterrent for small time troops. I can tell you, man, if you jump out of your car with that thing, like, I don't think a lot of like new criminals know what that is. So it could look, as we had the prongs in front, it could look like some sort of like a taser, it could look like a machine gun. I don't know.
There's a car now that you can take the steering wheel off, or it comes out.
Is it Lewis Hamilton's car?
No. Yeah. No, I saw, I can't remember what car this is. Obviously one of these concept cars where the steering wheel actually comes out, you know, when you start the car to drive, and then it goes back in.
Oh, like goes away?
Yeah, it like goes into like, you know, like a glove box compartment type of thing.
Yeah, like it's I guess it's like a cool something, but like since when did the steering wheel trouble you if you're not sitting there?
Maybe they need extra space, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, sure.
But talking about the evolution now, like the radio, now we have these screens, like, you can't not
they
have a screen.
Getting bigger and bigger. And, like, you know, it's so funny because you see, like, before, like, okay, so talking about evolution, do you remember Double Den was a thing?
Double what?
Double Den. It was basically like, you know, the one that used to come out, the radio that we do, but it used to like literally slide out and up.
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
And those were tiny, if you mean it. Like, I mean, today, like a Clio screen is bigger than that, right? But that's how it started. And do you remember the headrest one? And there was like a time where like people were trying to fit screens in every open space.
Yes, yes.
So there was ones in the headrest, there was ones in the front, it was just crazy.
Yeah, because you had that, not like MP3 player, whatever, people used to have that, and then they used to have a screen that used to come out, like you say, and then they used to put the screens in the headrest.
Yeah. And I think it was Otto Style, they used to actually sell those headrests. We had to buy the whole headrest with the screen. So that all gave rise to, I think, the hyper screens of today, where they literally like wrap around you and your passenger. I think the Mercedes Benz have really nailed it. Ford's one is nice on the Ranger and Everest. And this is now it's just screens everywhere.
Yeah, well, now you don't have an instrument cluster anymore. That's also digital, so that's the screen.
I would like that's something I really miss. You know, I just want to turn the aircon on. I don't want to go into aircon and climate settings and passenger. And
for a minute there, I thought you wanted to turn back the clock. Can you remember when you could turn back the odometer? So if you had it on like 40,000 and you're about to sell it, then you turn back the clock. It's haram. Don't listen to this part of the show. But people used to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny, like everything is digital now, everything. But that's something I do miss, I won't lie to you. Buttons, it's just, I don't know if you saw the new, what's it, a Golf R, the new one? Is it an 8.5 or whatever it is?
Yeah.
They actually went back, because you know the Golf 8 had no buttons, right? Nothing.
Yeah.
They went back to putting buttons. I think it was just such a flop.
It's like iPhone going back.
It's crazy. Just things are so advanced right now. But talking about advanced, both myself and Zad had. I don't know why that was the opening thing, because I'm about to talk about a Renault Clio. We had the Renault Clio. What color was the one you had?
It was exactly the same one that you had.
Was it the same one? Did you make the little scratch by the fender?
I'm not sure about it. It probably wasn't when I had it twice. The same red, what color was it?
Yeah, it's a red one.
Yeah.
So, firstly, right, Ziad, you think this is a very good car based on the price?
I think it's a very good car for Renault.
Okay, Renault, I just did something else. Like the Quid, and what's it, Kaiga?
Kaiga.
I'm sorry, I can't. I'm going to not say anything because I don't want to get into trouble, but I wouldn't spend my money on those two cars, right? If there was a Renault that I could spend my money on, it's the older generation Megane RS Trophy. I want one. I want to own it in that burnt yellow. But the other vehicle I would choose is this Clio. Firstly, it really tested me because I was like, hey, what is this in the middle? That, my friend, is a manual gearbox, and it only comes in manual.
Yes.
Right? So that was a bit of a, I won't say challenge, but, you know, I had to learn the clutch again. Like, I don't even check now. Like, literally just, it's going to be automatic. All cars, whether it's a i20, whether it's a BM, it's going to be an auto. That's just how it works. But this one is manual. The drive is really nice. I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoyed driving it. It does have a little bit of... It doesn't feel very engaged at times. Like, it feels a little appliancey. Like, you know, I'm just going to get you to your place.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you want putting the gears in clock it? Because you know how to change gears once I teach you. Because my experience was, it was quick.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't
quick. No, I mean, like, the changing of the gears, the moving, it wasn't...
I'm not saying it wasn't quick. Firstly, it picks up speed nice, it's smooth, it's a nippy car. But it just feels like, you know, how do I say this? You know, like something that doesn't have character to me. So okay. When I say it doesn't have character, I'm saying it does everything it's supposed to. But that actually makes it like so bland.
Okay.
Do you not agree?
So what? No, I don't agree with you.
Okay.
So what do you want it to do? Fly?
No, not fly at all. But just give me a little bit more of an engaged driving feel, okay. Especially because it's manual.
Right.
So I feel this one is just like very vague at times.
Okay. In what way?
Just like I'm saying, like you're driving, it's just like you don't want to feel like I want to drive. It's just like, okay, let's just jump in this Clio and go to buy bread.
I wanted to drive that car.
Really?
Yes, I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay, I'm guessing maybe the problem for me is I had the 8200 with it, so maybe that was because that car.
Now you see, now you're comparing.
No. So let me tell you something. I'm not comparing car for car. I'm comparing the feel. So like I'm saying, the 8200 is not a fast car. It's not anything, right? It does what it's supposed to, but it's like so engaging to drive. And this is what we spoke about last week.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you want to drive. You want to take it for like another. You want to go like one more block before you get home. I didn't have that with the Clio. I'm not going to lie to you. I do think it's a good car. It is one of the Renaults that I'd spend my money on. But I don't know. If you're looking for something a bit more, I think...
But yes. Maybe it was a timing, like you said, because if you had the cars at the same time, you were split between the two and you had that...
So there was a few days where I had the Clio alone, like on its own. And I don't know, I just feel like, yes, I would spend my money on that Renault if it came down to it. But I just don't think it does anything like superbly, if that makes sense. One thing I do tell you is the drive on the highway is really smooth. And fuel consumption was very good on the vehicle. Like it didn't finish fuel. Like,
yeah. No, but the Renault Clio Captur and the Duster.
The Duster is amazing, right? So the Duster is one of those vehicles where I have a lot of respect for. It's a nice size vehicle. It comes in at a good price, and it's a good entry into a Renault. I do think it's one of the better models as well, compared to the Kyber and every other brand model.
So what's the pricing on the Renault here?
Okay, so pricing on the Renault Clio. So we had the Intense.
Yes, the top of the range.
So it's a 1 liter turbo, okay, and it costs 367,000. It's a lot of money.
What are you comparing it to?
I don't know. I wanted like more. But let me tell you something. It looks very nice.
Yeah.
I particularly liked it in the red. I think it looked very sporty. It suited the car.
Yeah.
Interior wise, like everything, in fact, the quality of the interior is quite nice. I cannot deal with Renault's silly card key, whatever it's called. It's stupid, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't fit in your pocket, it doesn't fit in your wallet. 10 times I'm looking for like, where is the key, but it's right in front of me because my mind is like, you need a key, or like, even if it's one of those pressy things.
Yeah.
So,
key fob.
Exactly, you know, like, okay, what do you think of the key? And like Renaults have always done. So firstly, this one is much neater and nicer. The other ones were even more horrible. Do you remember the older ones?
Yeah.
It was like getting an A5 tablet. Why do they do that? Why do the French, why does Renault do that? What do they get out of it? It doesn't fit in your pocket nicely, right? It's like, okay, think about this, right? You've got your phone in your pocket, you've got your car keys, I mean, your house keys, or you've got your house keys, you've got your, like, you've got things on you.
You keep your house keys in your pocket all the time.
No, but I'm saying there's times where you have to, like, you have it with you.
Okay. No, I'm just asking.
Okay, fine, you got your wallet, your car keys, and a silly key card.
But you have two pockets.
But, like, you know, it's like, who is on you? It's like,
okay, let's hear from the listeners, what do they think about different
keys? Okay, who do you think has the nicest key?
The nicest
key? Because another thing is, right, some of these BMWs is like getting another phone. I swear.
BMW? Have you seen the new BMW keys?
Yeah.
No, it's not that big.
What do you mean? It's like it lights up, you have to charge it, and it's got a screen.
No, man, you're talking about the top-end cars. I'm talking about like the X1s and the 3 Series and that.
Okay, I'm talking about the top-end ones. Those ones. It's like you have another phone with you.
Yeah, but you can even start your car with your app or something now.
Yes, you can. You can.
A lot of the cars. I mean, Mercedes-Benz as well. If you have the app,
amazing looking keys.
You can. Very nice. Well, I'm trying to think of the Mercedes-Benz key.
It's like very neat, like this. It's also a key fob.
But yeah.
Like, there's nothing that happens. Like, nothing. You remember the VW?
Oh,
like a knife.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore, isn't it? Or do they? Main VW, they're probably recycling their old keys from now.
Yeah. Trying to think which is the best. I'm going to say the Land Rover.
Where is the key? Let's see what it looks like.
Where is it? It's really neat. Clean.
It's a functional
key. Explain to the listeners, okay. What do you see?
So what I'm looking at right now is a very nice size key.
Okay, how big is it? Let's measure.
There's a room. You can't prepare. So okay. It's 7 centimeters by, call it 4.
3.5 by 4. Okay. 3.5 by 4, yeah.
So that's the ideal.
And then, the width is about just over 1 centimeter. Okay, let's say 1.5 centimeters.
Okay, and then in terms of the actual key, on the one side it has a, what's this? It's called beveled.
Yeah, beveled.
A beveled logo. And on the other side is literally 5 buttons, lock, unlock. This is what your high, or your headlights, open on your boot and has it.
So, I mean, like,
that's all you need. That's all you need, really. But how much is this car?
It starts from 2.4 million. No, but I mean, this is a standard key amongst Jaguars and Land Rovers. Mm-hmm. No matter what you get, this is the standard key. It looks like this. I mean, this says Land Rover on it, and this is a Range Rover. So,
I was going to say, it's very similar to, I remember, my father's Discovery.
Yeah, no, it's they haven't changed it.
Mm-hmm.
It works. It's a nice size. It's got the functionality that you need. You don't need 100 different
no, really. Buttons. Okay, so I know some of the cars have features where you can kind of start the car, yes, or you can run the aircon. So that's with the BMs, right?
So the Protons as well, you can do that.
Yes, you can.
Hyundai as well.
Okay.
Kia.
I used to think it was like a gimmicky thing, but it's actually quite cool. Think about it, right? You went out and you went to the mall. for 2 hours. You went to one of those strip malls, so you parked in those tiny, tiny bays, and it's outside. You get your car, it's hot, right? Today was like, I don't know why, I think it was like 39 degrees. And just imagine opening the door, it's like the perfect temperature, getting in, closing the door, and it's like, cool. Does that not appeal to you?
Have you used it though? That function?
No.
Will you use it? Because the way you described it, and actually, you know, like using it in a practical day, you're not going to start the car and then what, you're going to stand outside and look at the car too.
I don't know.
You're going to look at the car while it cools down inside before you get inside.
So let me tell you, like, blatantly honest, I don't use that feature. I have, like, played with it. Another feature I do not use, I do not trust, is that thing where it parks itself. I don't care. It can be a BM, a Merc, a Proton, whatever vehicle it is, I don't trust it. Like, I'll try it in an empty car park. Have you?
I've never got it right. Like, in every single car, it always search for a parking, and there can be like 100 parkings, and it just carries on driving, and I'm like, I'm going to go off this parking lot. Like,
with the Proton, the X50, I tried it, and it worked in an empty parking lot, but I wouldn't have the confidence. I've tried in the 3 Series, I wouldn't have the confidence to be like, oh, there's one open parking here, let me squeeze between this guy's E-Class and this guy's Jaguar. I'll never.
But I don't even use the camera.
My next question was going to be that. Like, do you look at the cameras? Or also, some of these cameras, I don't know if I'm going too spoiled, but I don't know what resolution, but it's not so bad. Like, you're better off just, like, looking yourself. Do you remember, or were you one of those people that reverse put their left hand on the passenger?
No,
you're not one of those people. Okay.
But sometimes if I'm, like, in a tight spot, I do take my head out to just check, you know, like, just to check that I'm not too close,
Okay, so we should really talk about that, like, the features that we do, like, don't use or don't trust. But that obviously has to be on another show, because time really flies, and I think this is Brother Ntando giving us the look. It's Friday night, but Jazakla for a very good show once again. Really enjoyed it. I think we must do this. We must talk about, you know, things that bring up, like, nostalgia in people. I think that's what people like. They don't want to hear about your EVs.
No.
We must have a vote. Do you want to hear about EVs? Or do you want to... And another thing, next week, are we taking a drive? Are we doing the driving show?
We can.
Okay. Let's do that.
You were the one that was...
I was very panicked.
So if you... Yeah. But inshallah, everybody have a wonderful week, inshallah. Stay safe, and until next week, remember us in your du'as, remember the ummah in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu, 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 Allahu.